And as Loretta said, I am talking about the programmatic challenges and triumphs that we had converting from our own regional registry software to the statewide software, the California Immunization Registry. And just a bit of an overview of what I'm going to go through today. I'm going to talk a little bit about the background of the registry, the transition and the benefits, the steps that we took to ensure a successful transition, our triumphs and our challenges, as well as our lessons learned. A little bit of background, and what is circled up there, that is my region, the Inland Empire region. When the immunization registries began in California, they all started as independent regional collaborations due to the size of the state. Many of the regions had their own software, and what ended up turning out is about six of those regions were using what is now known as the CARE software. VaxTrack was one of those 10 regional registries. We had our own homegrown software. And at the time of the transition, so this was about 9 months ago, we had more than 800 participating providers. We had approximately 4,900 users and more than 1.2 million records and more than 7.6 million immunizations. Of course, that's changed because 9 months has passed. One of the things that I do want to say about the software we had, our software was very basic. It had not changed much since it was first developed back in the mid-90s. It was not a true web-enabled software. We went through a Citrix MetaFrame connection so that providers could access the server. And it did not have inventory. And part of the problem with the Citrix MetaFrame is as printers began coming out with USB printer ports, printing became an issue for our providers. So the benefit of that transition is not only were we as a staff going to gain more because we really needed to be part of the statewide system, the providers would get more. They would have more reports. They would have more features. They would have inventory features. They'd be able to track their inventory and track VFC inventory separate from their privately purchased inventory. One of the big key things, though, our region had about 11% of California's children's population that they would have access to. They were going to be increasing once all the regions are connected. They would be increasing to 84% of access for children population. The other thing is consistency of operations, and this is especially important for those providers that cross regional lines. We have one provider enrolled that's in San Diego County that wanted to be on ours because they get a lot of patients from our South County area. We have another one that's in San Bernardino County that gets patients from LA County. This is going to give them consistency in operations. It's less confusion for the staff. We also don't have to worry about development. All the development takes place at the state level. And then we get to have shared best practices. And I would say one of the biggest benefits that we have had to date has been the ability to access the PSR provider status report application that Los Angeles region had developed. So as far as our steps to a successful transition, we were doing this in a short period of time and we had to maintain our registry operations. So we needed to have help from others. We had to plan our activities to achieve our goals, not only our transition goals, but our programmatic goals. We had to prioritize and blend both those regular tasks as with our transition-specific task. We had to develop and refine new and existing operating procedures. It's kind of like Jenny was talking about. They made some customizations so that they didn't have to make a lot of changes to what they're doing. We actually had to make some adaptations to how we were used to doing business. And those things that we tried to make our square peg fit a round hole has been a little more challenging, I have seen, for us since we've done the transition. As far as obtaining help from others, The first thing we did is we identified our registry partners who could assist with our work plan task. And that was primarily, besides the state, it was our health plans. So our health plans, which was the Inland Empire Health Plan and Melita Medical Care, which are two of our, Medi-Cal, or as the rest of the world knows it, Medicaid health plans, they helped market the registry for us, as well as the VFC staff. So they did a lot of marketing of our transition with via fax blast and newsletter articles. The state and the regional staff collaborated on work plan tasks. Chris Kim and his technical team were wonderful working with us on the data mapping and the testing. They were so committed to making this work for us. And the state also provided us with a lot of general guidance and support as needed, and they helped polish some of our initial marketing materials that were done. In our transition planning, one of the things that the first thing we did was we determined our basic tasks that were needed to complete the transition. So we just sat down and brainstormed what are the key things we need to do that we need to plug into work plans. We developed our work groups. So we had an administrative work group, a legal work group, marketing and training, as well as technical. And then we needed to, at least the focus was in my county, in Riverside County, we were blending our day-to-day registry operations with those transition-specific activities. And the way we did that is I used what was called a continuity of operations plan, which I will talk about in a moment. Now, as far as our goals, we had goals for programmatic goals that were basically grant-driven, as well as our transition goals. So at the beginning, the transition goals are regional goals. The programmatic, that was Riverside County because that had to do with our tobacco funding from our first five Riverside organization. We had to, in our programmatic goals, add 16,500 new children to the registry in that fiscal year under the age of six that had an immunization record established in the registry. We had to add 45 new providers, send out 120,000 reminder postcards, and the help desk, and this is kind of tied with reminder cards, had to make 450 referrals for immunizations and well child exams. One of the key things our first five wants is to have medical homes for the children. Our transition goals, we had, again, just like the stats I told you, over 800 providers that we had to notify the transition. And we had to determine which of those were going to be. We did a big bang transition. Everyone went live at the same time. We didn't roll it out. And we had to determine which of those were going to be trained. We had to migrate 1.2 million patient records with more than 7.6 million immunizations. We wanted to re-engage the inactive providers as part of this transition process, get all the high-use providers trained prior to go live, so that those who were consistently doing the work would be able to continue consistently doing the work. And we would debut our new regional registry on the 13th of July in 2009. So as far as some of those planning activities we needed to do, for the different grant performance goals that I had, to get these new children, we needed to increase our provider participation, and we marketed, join VaxTrack now. VaxTrack is simple. It's going to help you learn. It's going to help you ease into the transition. This is all the things you have coming ahead. Wouldn't it be nice now to get your staff trained on basic data entry skills so then all they have to learn later is inventory? And that little marketing ploy did work quite a bit with us. We were going to recruit providers into the fourth quarter as needed. As you'll see on the next slide, that is not part of our work plan, but because this was tied to funding, we needed to make sure we met that goal. So that also meant we needed to continue with our decentralized training. We had to get the kids in so that we could send out the postcards and everything. And we wanted to also re-engage our providers. As far as the transition goals, our activities, again, we are marketing the care transition. We plan to, our target date to stop active provider recruitment so we could focus on transition was at the end of March. And we were shifting from decentralized to centralized training because I do not have the staff to send all over Riverside County. I have basically one main trainer and two support trainers. And my team on Riverside County is a total of four people. And then we were looking at the 80-20 rule. We were prioritizing our providers for training, and it's always 20% of the providers are doing 80% of the work. So as far as prioritizing and blending activities, when we created our task-specific transition work plans for each work group, I utilized the COOP plan to kind of prioritize what are our daily operational tasks, and then I did a combined work plan so that we could always keep track of the big picture, and you'll see slides that show this in a second, and then plug the non-transition activities into the combined work plan for my key program staff so that they would know where they were going, and then we just monitored our progress. So this slide shows, these are just samples of our task-specific transition work plans with the marketing and the technical and the training work plans. All of these work plans had the very specific task with and who's assigned to do the task, any comments, the status of each work plan, the due dates or completion dates, and whatever deliverables we had with that. And then when I talk about priorities with COOP, COOP was something, the continuity of operations plan, that was something that an exercise that our public health administration wanted every department to go through so that in the event of any kind of outbreak, bioterrorism, natural disaster, H1N1, it tells us we have to do more with the same or less people. So we look at what our normal operating services would be, what are essential services, what can we suspend, and depending on the level or the severity of the event, we know exactly what we could do and what we can't do. And so we did a kind of a modified COOP for our transition. And part of for prioritization was we did want to just continue marketing at least through the third quarter. We had to continue with reminder recall, even though that was one of our activities that may have been suspended. And we do all the reminder recall in Riverside County for all of our providers. We were continuing with VaxTrack training into April, and then we were going to start to shift our focus to the care training, continuing routine follow-up calls through May, and then focus on transition. And then we stopped provider mailings that were not related to the transition. Now, this is kind of an example of the big picture work plan that we developed. And we had all of our different work plans and all the key tasks that were plugged in. We spent about a year planning this transition, but really the work for the transition took place in the final 6 months. And so all you see on here is January through July. This work plan kind of allowed us to know if something was not on target, how is it going to impact the rest of the activities, because we could see what else is coming up and, oh gee, there's not a lot going on in March, so we have that little bit of fudge factor there if we need to. And then the next thing we did, and this is what's in red, was integrating. This is just kind of a sample of how we would integrate for my staff some of our key tasks. So we talk about, okay, we have a goal. We want to enroll 9 providers in different days so that we can make sure we have all of our 45 new providers that were enrolled by a certain specific time. And then monitoring the progress. These are all of our grant performance indicators, what our target was, and then how we were each month and what the percentage we were towards meeting the goals. And we had, again, until June 30th, the end of the fiscal year. As far as developing and refining our operational procedures, you have to expect changes to how business is done. We had to develop new account naming conventions, new login procedures for our providers, new paperwork was adopted. We adopted new training methods, and of course, there was the new name for everyone to get used to. And the key thing that I did from the moment the decision was made, and actually I even started it before the decision was made to do this transition, I started practicing change management with my staff. People are always afraid of change, and they may voice their fears in different ways. And one of the things that I always thought was you have to have a positive attitude and always have a positive message. I saw how that worked with staff. Those who just always were getting the positive message, they just were always so gung-ho for doing this. And those that didn't get to hear the positive message as much because they weren't in our office as much, they're the ones that not so much complain, but they voiced their own personal fears of the change and put that on the providers, and they were making excuses for the providers when it was really their fear. But once they actually got into working with the system, that did change. Now, a little snapshot of where we were on January 5th, 2009, to let you know what we did in that final six-month period. As far as our programmatic grant activities, we were only at 52% of our goal for new children. We were at 31% for the new providers being fully trained and able to demonstrate that they can use the registry. 40% of our reminder recall cards had been sent, and 54% of our help desk referrals had been made. As far as the transition, the transition hadn't happened yet, so everything was still the same. Now, as far as our triumphs, we did manage to meet all of our grant performance targets, or we exceeded them. And as far as our funder was concerned, to meet a performance target, you had to be 90% or better. And we were 95% or better on all of our targets. It was a roughly 96-97% of our new children. We exceeded our new providers in the registry. Again, about 96-97% of the reminder postcards were sent out, and we exceeded our referrals. The transition did go very smoothly, and the staff were wonderful. They acted very quickly to the common questions and errors by refining their training procedures and creating and posting additional reference materials on the website. Our challenges. The transition activities did not end with go live. You might think of, okay, it's so easy to think the technical part, go live is done. We're now on care, but we still had providers that needed to be trained. And so there were our infrequent and inactive providers that still need to be trained. Our read-only, our schools and our childcare were not the focus of our pre-go-live training, so we had to follow up with those. And then once go-live was over, we were inconsistent with our follow-up calls. We went live in July. By September, we were packing our offices to move to a new location. And then, of course, shortly after that, they opened up our Department Operations Command Center, and myself and one other key staff member were assigned to the dock for 6 months. Lessons learned. If it is not possible to dedicate staff to work solely on a software transition, it is critical to prioritize key registry tasks and blend them with the work plan. I have been involved in a software transition in my past life, where I was actually pulled out of my management position and set to head up to work with, as co-head with our IT department on a software transition for our clinic management staff to a new patient management and registration, or patient management billing system. And we had a team that devoted themselves solely to working on this transition and training. I didn't have to worry about day-to-day operations. So I was concerned from the get-go, how can we blend both and make it happen? And also, the end is just the beginning, because the programmatic components of the transition continue beyond the go-live date. So without that combined work plan, it was too easy to focus on just one part of the big picture. And for us, it was too easy to remain focused on the transition training and not on the other parts of the work plan, which had some effects that I'll be talking about tomorrow. The business continuity work plans do help balance the activities both during and after the transition, as staff responsibilities need to shift between software transition activities and the business as usual. And it really does. It helps the staff to maintain focus, and it can be customized to deal with unexpected events like H1N1. And then one of the things that we had to do is revisit that work plan as needed, not only to maintain focus, but if something's not working, to make your course corrections. And we have had to do that a couple of times. And I would like to acknowledge the state care staff, Roberta Lewis and Chris Kimmer, sitting here, that for all the help and support that they gave us for transitioning over, as well as the state vaccine for children staff that helped market our transition to the providers, the Inland Empire Health Plan and Molina Medical Care, and as well as all the CARE Inland Empire staff for all their hard work during the transition. And my contact information. Thank you.
Thank you both, Letty and Jenny, for sharing your experiences. Change is definitely difficult, but you come out better on the other end. I'd like to open it up for questions now. If you have a question, please use the microphone in the center. It is being recorded, and that way you'll be captured for those that are listening after the fact. Any questions?
Hi, my name is Heather Tomlinson. I'm with the Indiana Immunization Coalition. My question's actually for Jenny, since nobody's lined up behind me. I actually have three questions. You mentioned a 92% private provider part in alert, and I'm just curious as to how you guys got your numbers at that level.
Well, is that on? Okay.
Yep.
So basically, we have been a system since 1995, and so the longevity of it basically is our key thing. But also, when we started back then, we developed as a private-public partnership, and so we have some pretty heavy hitters that were on our side and were promoting us as well and have always done that. And so that's definitely helpful.